Producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toyo stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a running sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Redding. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
Cigars, spirits, and diversions. The Cigar and Pleasure Friendly Hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
September is National Bourbon Heritage Month. We celebrate America's native spirit. On August 2, 2007, the United States Senate declared September as National Bourbon Heritage Month, and each and every year we celebrate the quintessential American spirit. And as we know, that all bourbons are whiskey, but all whiskeys are not bourbon. And our guest in the first hour, a legend in the world of bourbon, one of the great master distillers of all time, Fred Noe III, will join us momentarily as we enjoy bourbon whiskey and we talk Jim Beam, the world's number one selling bourbon. Jim Beam cannot go wrong. My favorite is the Jim Beam Black. In fact, I still have some of the Jim Beam Double Black, Double Age. We'll talk with Fred about that, and we discuss everything bourbon. And as we have learned, there is a big difference between whiskey and bourbon, and there are some specific rules. And there's nobody better than to talk about that with legendary master distiller Fred Noe III of Jim Beam. Fred, it is great to have you on the Cigar Dave Show once again. The last time we had you on, I think it was about 3 years ago, and as always, we enjoy talking bourbon and talking Jim Beam, and you are a direct descendant of Jim Beam.
That's correct, Dave. Yeah, it's my pleasure to be chatting with you this morning.
Now, you were up in Kentucky. And before we go on, first of all, a big hearty congratulations. There is a future master distiller in the Noe family because your son and your daughter-in-law just had a baby.
Just had a baby last night, Frederick Booker Noe V. And we are going to call him Booker. So.
Outstanding. Frederick Booker Noe V. Yep, and as we talked, you said, hey, if he wants to become a master distiller, great. If he wants to do something else, that's fine, too. And I'm sure, Fred, you must have a very special bourbon tucked away somewhere, some barrel that's aging secretly for these special occasions.
Man, I don't know about a special barrel. I got a few bottles around that are special. I might have to have a little taste of a 25th anniversary Booker's honor to this, my little grandson's great-grandfather, so that would be fun. Might even find a cigar somewhere, too. Who knows?
Oh, absolutely. Got to have a celebratory cigar. Listen, cigars and bourbon go hand in hand. Fred, let's talk about bourbon whiskey, because many people, there is a misconception that that bourbon has to be made in Kentucky. It doesn't. It's predominantly made in Kentucky. But there are some specifics in terms of bourbon by law. You cannot call a bourbon whiskey bourbon unless it meets certain requirements, the first of which is it must be at least 51% corn.
Correct. Corn has to be the majority grain in your mash bill or recipe. After that, you can play with about anything you want. I mean, the definition of whiskey is a product made from a fermented mash of grain. it's pretty wide open. So bourbon is very specific in the fact that corn has to be your majority grain. And as far as the geographic location, bourbon must be made in the United States. You know, a lot of people try to single it out to Kentucky because 95% of the world's bourbon is made here in Kentucky, but it does have to be made in the United States.
The other thing, the other requirement is that it must be aged in new oak, American oak barrels.
Correct. Yeah, it has to be a new barrel. You can't reuse the barrels one time. I mean, and that allows us to get the you know, job done in the time we do. And since we cannot add colors or flavors, 100% of the color and probably 70% of the flavor comes from that new oak barrel that we age the bourbon in.
Fred, there's a lot of controversy over the name bourbon. Did bourbon originate from Bourbon County, Kentucky? Was it the Bourbon family of Louisiana? What's your take?
Well, I think you're partially right on both. Here in Kentucky, Bourbon County, there is a big tie back to France. And if you look, we have a town, Paris, Kentucky. We have a town we call Versailles, but it's spelled just like Versailles. And in Louisville comes from King Louis. But really, the bourbon, how it kind of got its name, was a lot of the state of Kentucky was Bourbon County, and when people started getting the whiskey from Bourbon County, they started calling for that whiskey from Bourbon County. Hence, that's where bourbon got its name, but it all does kind of go back to that, bourbon family and our ties here in the state of Kentucky to France. So that's, you know, you are right on both those accounts that, you know, it goes back to the Bourbon family and Bourbon County here in Kentucky.
Fred Noe III, master distiller of Jim Beam, and I should also say some of their single-barrel brands as well, certainly Booker's and Basil Hayden's, one of my favorite. Love Basil. Love them all, actually. Fred, you can't go wrong with bourbon. When we look at cigars and we look at bourbon, both really experienced very similarities in the marketplace. They were very popular going back in the 40s and the 50s, even the 60s, and then they went on a downtrend, and all of a sudden, about 20 years ago, we saw this resurgence, this renaissance, not only with cigars, but with bourbon as well. What do you attribute that bourbon renaissance to?
I think a lot of that, you know, rekindling the fire under bourbon goes back to four of the guys I call the elder statesmen of the bourbon industry. When you look at Jimmy Russell from Wild Turkey, Parker Beam from Heaven Hill, Elmer T. Lee from Blanton's, and most certainly my father, Booker Noe, you know, in the 70s and early 80s, they started looking at creating premium bourbons, and they went out on the road and started educating people on what bourbon was all about. And I think folks didn't really know about bourbon, didn't know what, you know, there was kind of your dad's drink or your grandfather's drink. But then, you know, they got out there and started showing people, hey, it's more than just a shot at the bar like the cowboys that bellied up to the bar in the Western movies. You know, you can make cocktails. You can enjoy it neat on the rocks in drinks. And it opened up people to experiment with bourbon. And I think that's what kind of got people looking at it. And then more and more education, the consumers were educated on bourbon, and they started being inquisitive. Because if you look back in history, a lot of times people were dead set on a certain beverage that they enjoyed, and that's what they drank. But as time has evolved, people are more inquisitive, and they try different things when they go out. And I think they discovered, hey, bourbon is not as bad as I think it is, you know. And there's something here. If it's presented right and it's not too strong, you can enjoy it. I always tell people, if you taste a bourbon and make a face, then it's too strong. Bring it down to a strength that's pleasing to your palate so you can enjoy it. And that was kind of what my dad and the other elder statesmen were teaching people about bourbon, and I think that's what rekindled the fire under the bourbon category.
Yeah, there's been a huge resurgence of all the brown spirits. When you look at bourbon and you look at Scotch whiskey and Irish whiskey, it's just a very hot segment. And just like the renaissance, the boom in cigars took the cigar manufacturers by surprise, same thing with the bourbon distillers. And both are similar in that you can't just say, okay, we need to up our production. Great, let's increase our production by 50% and we can get it out to market in a month. It doesn't work that way because you have to put those in barrels, and it takes, you can't rush the hands of time. It takes a minimum of, you know, 4 years, sometimes longer. So what's interesting to me is there are more barrels filled with bourbon aging in Kentucky than there are people in Kentucky, which is an amazing fact.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
But it
I mean,
takes time. You can't just rush
Governor
it.
Beshear, he always liked that statistic when he put it out there. There are more barrels of bourbon aging here in Kentucky than there are folks living here, which it's a pretty strong industry here in our state.
It really is. And what's interesting is there are 1.5 barrels for every person living in Kentucky. So I think there's around 6 or 7 million barrels right now of bourbon that are being aged. And you can't just fill it and say, okay, great, we're going to come to market. It just has to be right. And I think when you look at Jim Beam, consistency is the key, because when you have Jim Beam, whether it is from today or from 3 years ago, it is a very consistent product, as are all the Jim Beam bourbon whiskeys.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's something we try to protect, the legacy of our bourbon, and to keep producing it the same way that it's been produced right here in Claremont since Prohibition was repealed. And, you know, we keep using the same yeast strain, the yeast that Jim Beam created right after Prohibition. We're still using it today. And so, you know, that's a lot of it. Just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. That's what my father instilled in me, and my son is learning from me at this time, and that's why we try to keep it as close to the way we've been making it as we can.
Well, I've got in front of me, before we get tasting in just a few minutes, I've got the Jim Beam Original. I've got the Jim Beam. Now, this is interesting. I've got, now it's called the Jim Beam Black, but I still have a bottle. Actually, I've got two bottles of the Jim Beam Black Double Aged, which had an age statement, 8 years. And I remember,
correct,
when you were changing, I said, I better pick up some of these because I love these. But you've added so many additionals. You've got the Devil's Cut now, the Jim Beam Rye, the Double Oak, the Bonded, even some of the flavored whiskeys, the Signature Craft, which we'll get into, as well as the Booker's and the Basil Hayden's, also amongst my favorites. But give us a history of Jim Beam, because obviously you are now the third in a line of master distillers. Your son now is the fourth, and maybe your grandson will be the fifth. But give us a history of Jim Beam bourbon.
Well, it actually goes back even further than that. It goes back to 1795, when Jacob Beam made his first barrel of whiskey on Hardin Creek, which is from where we're located right now in Claremont. It's about 30 miles, as Dad would always say, as the crow flies. I guess that crow flew in a straight line. But that's, you know, he started making whiskey in the early days of Kentucky when land was granted to folks that would grow corn. And they were trying to get westward movement from the original 13 colonies. And old Jacob, who came from Maryland, he came down with his wife, and they settled right here close by on Hardin Creek, and he started making whiskey. And then his son, David Beam, came along, moved the business up here to Bardstown to get closer to the new railroad that was just starting to blaze the trail through this new territory, what is now the Commonwealth of Kentucky, to be able to get, you know, raw materials in and to ship out finished bourbon. So then the business stayed there. David's son, David M., came into the business, carried it on. His son, James Beauregard, or Jim Beam, came along, the fourth generation, and he was running the business here in Bardstown when the dreaded Prohibition came about. And Jim Beam shut the business down, sold the property, sold the distillery, and got away from it because he did not want to go to jail. He knew there was going to be some illegal activity go on because he knew that the American public was not going to quit drinking just because the government in Washington, D.C. passed a law that says we can no longer possess, drink, or have beverage alcohol. And Jim Beam, during that Prohibition era, tried his hand at citrus farming down in Florida, which his daughter said he failed at miserably. He also tried some coal mining in eastern Kentucky. That didn't pan out too well for him. And his third business venture was digging limestone rock where our distillery in Claremont is located today. And when Prohibition was repealed, he cranked the old Murphy Barber distillery up that was located close to where he was digging this limestone rock and put our family back in the business. You know, he did that at the age of 70. And it always amazes me, heck, I'm 61, and if I can get the grass cut here at the house, I'm tickled to death. I couldn't imagine starting a distillery 9 years from now, but I'm always grateful that my great-grandfather, Jim Beam, had that foresight to get our family back in the bourbon business. And then his son, T. Jeremiah, came along and ran the business, helped his dad get it started after Prohibition. He ran it. He had no children. So when Uncle Jerry needed to bring another family member into the business or desired to, he had to look to his sister's family. Hence, my father was the firstborn son. That's why the last name went from Beam to No on actually the sixth generation of Beam Distillers. And then Dad brought me into the business, and I've brought Freddie into the business. And if little Booker down the road decides he wants to become a bourbon distiller, I'm sure the opportunity will be there for him if that's what he chooses to do. And that's pretty much our history from 1795 till today. And there's been a Beam family member making the whiskey and bourbon and all of our products ever since the very beginning of the company.
Fred Noe III, Master Distiller at Jim Beam Bourbon and Distilling, our guest as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month here on the Cigar Dave Show. An incredible story, really, in just persistence. I mean, at 70, really, with the entrepreneurial spirit. And you actually have come out, Jim Beam has come out, with Jacob's Ghost White Whiskey to celebrate, commemorate the founder and first distiller. And that is a white whiskey. So that is basically really unaged. That doesn't go in the barrels. That's pretty much what the first Jim Beam tasted like.
Well, we actually aged the Jacob's Ghost and then polished out any color that it picked up because we wanted to smooth it out a little bit. I'm sure.
So it did go in barrels.
Jacob, yeah, but we did put it in barrels, and but we didn't, you know, we polished out the color that it picked up in the short time we aged it, so it still would be clear. We tried to make a white whiskey that was very palatable and could be used in a lot of cocktails. But we were commemorating Jacob's making clear whiskey.
So that's not really like what we would consider like a white dog or a moonshine, because it does go in barrels and it is aged, but
right,
just for a shorter time.
Actually, if you want to really get technical, we could have called it bourbon. Now, you couldn't call it straight bourbon because it wasn't aged for 2 years, and it was actually in a new barrel. So, I mean, if we really, technically, we could have called that product a bourbon whiskey, but you could not have called it straight because it was not aged for 2 years. But it was aged in a new barrel for a period of time. So, I mean, that's all the law says on bourbon. So we met the aging requirement for bourbon, but you couldn't call it straight because it wasn't aged at least 2 years.
Interesting. And we see a really a movement now towards single barrel bourbons. And what is interesting is Jim Beam was really the first to come out with a single barrel bourbon going back to Knob Creek, I think, about 25 years ago.
Well, we were really slower on the single barrel than a lot of others because my father was not a huge fan of single barrel bourbons due to the fact of the variation in flavor from barrel to barrel. And Dad, he always liked to mingle the barrels together for consistency. Like you said, how Jim Beam was always consistent year after year after year after year. That was something my father hung his hat on, making the bourbon the same, as close to the same as you can every time. But as I started traveling, I started seeing that people like the slight inconsistencies of single barrel products. And that's where we decided to get into that single barrel market. Because people kept asking me, why don't you do a single barrel? Why don't you do a single barrel? Why don't you do a single barrel? when I'm traveling, if I hear something enough, then I know there is interest for a product. And so that's where the single barrel came from, was from customers asking me, why don't we do a single barrel? We weren't really the first. I'll tell you, the one who I think was probably the first was Elmer T. Lee up at Blanton's in Frankfurt. Because Blanton was always a single barrel bourbon, because at the time Dad was releasing the small batch bourbons, Elmer was doing the Blanton's, which was a single barrel product. And Dad liked it, but he didn't like the idea of it being inconsistent every time.
Well, your dad may not have liked it, but certainly Knob Creek now is the number one selling small batch bourbon in the country.
Yeah, Dad, single barrel wasn't his thing, but that was something that, he didn't appreciate, but, he liked things different than, I think that's why there's so many different bourbons on the shelf. Everybody doesn't like the same thing. But we definitely got into it, and it's also given us an opportunity to let customers come to our distillery and select a barrel and buy the entire barrel of bourbon.
And if I'm not mistaken, you launched others in your small batch collection. I'm familiar with Basil Hayden's because I love the Basil Hayden's. It's got a very unique bottle, and the way that it's encased with a very unique circular, almost looks like a what you'd see around a barrel. But you have Basil Hayden's and Knob Creek, and there were two others also that you added to the craft collection.
Yeah, Booker's, Dad's namesake, and then Baker's is one that's, it's been very successful too. And within the family, we've got our Knob Creek rye, a Knob Creek single barrel rye as well. And so it's, our small batch family has grown significantly since Dad released the original four back, in the early 90s.
And the Basil Hayden's, to me, for the price, the aging on it, absolutely spectacular. I mean, just a very smooth. And if somebody wants a bourbon whiskey that's not going to overpower them, that's going to be very smooth, that's going to be very gentle, to me, the Basil Hayden's, you can't go wrong with.
Oh, yeah, you're exactly right. That's one of our guardrails on Basil Hayden, is approachable and easy to drink. And, I think people who are playing with bourbon, if you want a lighter bourbon that's, got a nice, clean finish, Basil Hayden definitely fits that bill, and it's done very, very well. People have discovered it and love it.
And real quickly, Booker's. When you look at Booker's, it almost looks like it's a bottle of wine. It doesn't look like a bottle of bourbon.
Well, that's actually a stock wine bottle that my father did pick. And, Booker's being bottled straight from the barrel, uncut, unfiltered, is the reason that was Dad's baby. But his theory was, if people can reduce it to the strength that they want to drink it. Every other product that we do, we bring it down to the bottling strength with demineralized water. Booker's comes straight from the barrel, right to the bottle, and so it's bourbon in its purest form.
Fantastic. Our guest, Frederick Booker Noe III, the master distiller of Jim Beam and their craft collection. And we come back, we'll get into tasting some of these great bourbon whiskeys from Jim Beam as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month.
The General is always on Twitter, delivering breaking news, giving you the latest intel on cigars, and battling the enemies of pleasure. Chat with the General now at Cigar Dave Show.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Tradition traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and...
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Get ready to laugh because Riverfront Playhouse is bringing you a show about a normal guy who has a ton of everyday problems that everyone can relate to. Hilarity will ensue as Jasper navigates from mundane career obstacles, awkward romantic encounters, right down to the daily commute. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Somewhere in Between, written by Craig Pospisil, directed by Chris Gomez. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, September 22nd through October 13th. Mature themes and language, so viewer discretion is advised.
Magician Matt Franco brings illusion and humor to Reading's historic Cascade Theater September 9th. As the only magician ever to win America's Got Talent, Matt Franco's innovative approach to magic is fueled with improv and driven by pure joy. Experience the boundless fun and stunning sense of wonder with Magician Matt Franco at the Cascade Theater September 9th. Get tickets today at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Monday Night Football is back, baby. Raiders, Niners, Seahawks, Cowboys, Vikings, where you at? Bet the Bookie returns again this year with Kenny Breedlove. Win cash and prizes every Monday night. Monday Night Football kicks off this year with a doubleheader on September 10th. The Jets versus the Lions, and the Rams take on the Raiders. Come get your football fix at Shameless O'Leary's. The best wings, burgers, and Irish nachos in town, plus over 16 brews on tap and over 100 unique whiskeys behind the bar. Wear your favorite team jersey and come play Bet the Bookie every Monday night. It's free to play and an absolute blast for couples or serious football fans. Place your bet and win. Don't forget Sunday Funday with the NFL ticket and Sunday brunch. Bloodies, mimosas, and a full breakfast menu. If you want to watch football, make it Shameless O'Leary's, California Street, downtown Reading.
Football, you say? Well, I've got $100 here. Says football's supposed to be played with your feet.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
To get me high, and then I'll say goodbye. No way, good day, she hung me out to dry. One bottle of bourbon and I still sober from you. One bottle of bourbon just can't down out the blue.
The General and global alpha male in chief, as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month with Frederick Booker Noe III, master distiller at Jim Beam Bourbon. And Fred, I have in front of me a variety of incredible whiskeys coming from your distillery in Claremont, Kentucky. First, let's talk about your flagship, if you will, the Jim Beam Original. Now, very quickly, I've noticed that you've taken age statements off all of the bourbons, and that's not uncommon. We're seeing that. Tell us why that has been done.
A lot of it, when you state the age, every drop in the bottle has to be of at least that age. With the Jim Beam White Label, for example, it's 4 years old, and we get everything to a four-year taste profile. So it's, you know, some of them might be a little older than four, some right on four, especially with the older things where we take, for the black, for example, we'll have some that's a little better than 7 or 8 years old, some that's a little younger, trying to hit that 7-year taste profile. And that's the thing is, it was tightening up our inventories are so tight that when you start putting an age statement, it makes it tough to keep up with the demand curve. It's off the charts right now for a lot of these products. If we stuck to age statements, a lot of products would disappear from the shelf. Because
gotcha, but you still
not enough
you still
there.
And you still maintain the consistency. So let me, before we, I get ready to say cheers and sample the Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon, you have something that you have kind of made famous, and that's called the Kentucky Chew.
Well, my father actually did. It was Dad's tasting technique, you know, where he put the bourbon in his mouth, rolled it around, and chewed on it. And the reason he did that was, you know, different parts of your mouth pick up different flavors. And so he rolled a bourbon all around and chewed on it as the whole time pulling a little air into his mouth. And that was his way of tasting, trying to assess the flavors. And then when he swallowed it, he would draw a little air in to assess the finish. And a whiskey writer picked up on Dad's tasting technique and said, "What do you call that?" And Dad, out of the blue, always had an answer. He said, "I call that the Kentucky Chew." And it kind of stuck on Dad. And after you know, he passed away and I started traveling, people kept saying, "Who'd seen Dad? Are you going to do the Kentucky Chew?" So I would put it in my mouth and do the same thing for people, and it still kind of stuck with us.
Well, that's what I'm going to do, Fred, right now. I'll say cheers, and this is a taste of the Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Very smooth. Mm-hmm. Definitely gets some of the oakiness, but just right. Not a lot of after bite. It's pretty smooth, and this is the number one selling bourbon in the world, I believe.
Absolutely. I think the thing that makes the Jim Beam White Label so good and the number one bourbon in the world is the mixability of it. As you just drank it neat, but if you want to do it with a plus one, say a ginger ale or a Coke or some other, you know, plus one or soda, people can mix it or you can drink it neat, you know. So it's a very versatile bourbon that folks who are just starting to play with bourbon have found that maybe that's where they get started. They see it in a bar, they try it, and it kind of makes their inquisitive minds think of bourbon, and after they get used to the flavor, then they start looking at other bourbons on the shelf.
Let's talk, now I'm going to sample the Jim Beam Black Extra Age Bourbon, and this one, the highest awarded accolade in the bourbon category at the 2016 International Wine and Spirits Competition. So as I swirl it around on the nose, definitely getting some citrus notes.
All right. Now that one is aged, the one that you have in your hand there. We call it double aged because it's aged twice as long as our Jim Beam White Label. The White Label is 4 years, twice as long as it has to be aged to be a straight. But this one's aged twice as long as that. So it was, you know, every drop in that bottle was 8 years old. And, you know, more the barrel comes into play, much more barrel. And you got a little more strength.
I think little more strength, a little bit more sizzle, I'll say, on the palate. I just did the Kentucky Chew, getting a little sizzle on the tongue. A little bit of warmth, not a ton of warmth, but just enough going back down the throat. Very, very pleasant.
Very, very good bourbon. Very versatile. Folks who want to drink it on the rocks or neat can do that, or you can mix it in a cocktail.
All right, now we're going to do something a little different. We're going to go to your Jim Beam Pre-Prohibition Rye. Now, as we know, rye, definitely a lot of spiciness, a lot of pepperiness. So I'm going to say cheers, and I'm going to do the Kentucky Chew as I sample this, and tell me what makes this Jim Beam Rye Pre-Prohibition so unique.
Well, our Jim Beam Rye is not a 100% rye whiskey. You know, by law, rye whiskey has to be at least 51% rye. Dad and the Beam family always enjoyed still putting some corn in our rye whiskey to give it a little sweetness. You know, and that's why we're not, and we made a lot of rye, but we do add a little corn, and I think it helps balance our rye whiskey out. It gives a little sweetness. We also got the malted barley that we use for our conversion of starches to sugar before fermentation. And that's kind of what makes, I think, ours a little different than others, because if you don't, you know, use the malt, then you have to add enzymes and other things to get the conversion. But we're making this as an old-style rye whiskey, and we've been making it this way for many, many years, since before I was probably ever born. I'm 61, and Rye's been around. It's been through a couple of upgrades. I mean, we went from a yellow label to a green label, from 80 proof to 90 proof, but it's still basically the same whiskey, just a little higher proof and a little different label.
All right, Fred, now I'm going to move into your Jim Beam signature craft. I've got your quarter cask, and this is aged 8 years. Tell me about your signature craft real quick as I get ready to sample it.
Well, the signature craft was an experiment we did several years ago where we tried to think outside of the barrel, and we did some different mash bills, did that quarter cask finish where we took the bourbon out of the 200-liter barrels and put it into some 50-liter barrels to give a little more wood influence on the finish. And our different mash bills, we did a red winter wheat, we did triticale, we did an extremely high rye, we did a rolled oats, and six row barley, and, you know, and a brown rice. That was the six. And since then, we've actually revisited the brown rice mash bill. So you'll see that one coming out after it ages out a little more. But that was an experiment that we did just to kind of think, as we said, outside of the barrel about 15, 20 years ago.
Well, the experiment worked, and I'm getting a lot of vanilla and definitely a lot of oakiness on this, with a lot of warmth coming back down on the palate. And lastly, and we could go on, we could taste every single one, but let me go over to your small batch series. Let's talk about that Basil Hayden's, because that to me is so approachable as I pour it here. Mm-hmm. It's just a very smooth, very balanced, just a very, very tame in personality whiskey.
Yeah, that Basil Hayden, what we do on it is we keep the corn still above 51%, but we double the amount of rye that we put into the mash bill. We age it out and bottle it at 80 proof, so it still is very approachable, and put it in that unique package you talked about with the belly band and the label that looks like a set of overalls. And Basil has done very, very well and is growing at an astronomical rate. I mean, people are discovering it and loving it. And Basil is a great one. If you want a soft, easy-to-drink bourbon, Basil Hayden definitely fits the bill.
Yep, very, very pleasant. And what's unique about this, you said it's got double the rye content, yet I'm not getting any of that peppery spiciness when I taste this.
But we don't. It's not like a rye whiskey, because you're still over 51% corn.
Right.
You're just getting a little bit of the rye in the mash bill. You know, so it's still basically a bourbon, but we got just a little bit of rye to give it a slight little bit of bite, but nothing like a rye whiskey.
And you've added so many new ones, and we'll just briefly talk about it, but your Jim Beam Devil's Cut has been very popular. You've got certainly a lot of the flavored whiskeys now, the Red Stag and the vanilla, and that's been very popular. As a whiskey or bourbon purist, to me, I just don't like that sweetness, but it's become very popular. But that Devil's Cut has really become a very very heavily popular bourbon.
Yeah, Devil's Cut, we sweat some more of the bourbon that's still trapped in the wood out by putting water in the used barrels. And that gives it a little more of the tannins and a little more of the wood influence from the oak barrels that we aged the bourbon in. Now, Devil's Cut's been a fun one to play with and to do, and it has become pretty successful.
Now, I'd ask you what your favorite Jim Beam is, but I know you're going to tell me the answer. They're all your children. You love them all. But there's got to be one that you gravitate to now and then.
Booker's is the one that I gravitate towards because Dad created it, you know, and it bears his name and my name. And I do select the barrels for Booker's since Dad passed away. But, you know, it's a little higher strength, so it just depends on what I'm doing. If I'm home, that's why I said I'll probably enjoy a Booker's tonight after we go visit my grandson in the hospital, and I get back home and I can sit back on the patio and relax. I think that's be what will happen. We'll have a Booker's 25th anniversary in honor of the new little Booker No, who just made his debut into the world last night.
Well, Fred, we'll send you up some celebratory cigars. I think we'll get some. In fact, I'm going to see the guys over at Davidoff right here in the cigar city of Tampa. So we'll get you some celebratory cigars. And next time up in Kentucky, I will absolutely give you a shout and would love to visit you, and we'll do a tasting. And, Fred, we really appreciate it. Frederick Booker Noe III, master distiller legend in the bourbon whiskey area. And congratulations on Frederick Booker Noe V, who was born yesterday.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. You guys have a great weekend.
You too. Fred, as always, great to speak with you. And I'll tell you what, I could sit here and taste every single Jim Beam in the line, and maybe we will over the next couple of weeks as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month, front and center on the Cigar Dave Show.
Never miss a minute of the show when you download the Cigar Dave mobile app for Apple, Android, and Kindle devices. You can listen to our 24/7 continuous stream of the latest show or download the recent podcasts to listen to anytime on your mobile device. Get the Cigar Dave mobile app in the App Store. Search Cigar Dave.
Gurkha has just launched three new cigars at the Cigar Dave Alpha Pleasure Fest on the water in Buffalo. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, the Gurkha Marquesa, and Gurkha Ghost Gold. All three unique flavor profiles. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, more traditional, mild, and creamy cigar, typically found in many of the high-end Dominican cigars. Exquisite flavor, very velvety on the palate.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Are we enjoying the unity and peace our immoral, godless leaders promised if we would just give up the idea of God? No, we are experiencing violence, hatred, immorality, chaos, and much more, all of which the Bible calls lawlessness. Sadly, those practicing lawlessness are living under a strong delusion of lies as they reject God's truth and have pleasure in unrighteousness. This strong delusion will keep them from knowing the truth that can make them free. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or DouglasWrightLaw.com.
The General resumes hosting maneuvers in 1 minute. Quiet, please. Cigar Dave returns in 5, 4, 3, 2,
with an unlimited and secure supply of pleasure sticks available for the general to enjoy. It's time for National Cigar Lightation Maneuvers.
The General from Command Center Alpha back in the cigar city of Tampa. And I've just been surrounded by Pendragon's Royal Sultan and Pendragon's Royal Baron, my two German Shepherds. As soon as they got whiff that I am going to be conducting litation maneuvers and libation maneuvers, they just sat next to me on each side. They love the aroma of fine cigars, but they do not get a lick of my libation. Well, maybe I will put, you know what, maybe one day I'll give them just one lick so they can enjoy some fine bourbon as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month. And I have just pulled out a cigar that will go very nicely with my libation of choice as we had Frederick Booker Noe III, Fred Noe, master distiller at Jim Beam, for the first portion of this edition of the Cigar Dave Show. We'll continue with one of their great libations, but I've just pulled out a brand new cigar that was launched at the Cigar Retailers Convention mid-July, Las Vegas, Nevada. Nothing like 110 degrees in the middle of the summer in Vegas. But I've just pulled out the new La Gloria Cubana Esteli. I was extremely impressed by this new addition to the La Gloria Cubana portfolio. The cigar is incredibly smooth. It's rich. Just beautiful construction, feels nice in the hand, comes in three different sizes, uses a Jalapa Nicaraguan wrapper, uses a Nicaraguan Hamastron binder, as well as fillers from Hamastron and Honduras. And actually, I should say the binder is from the Hamastron Valley in Honduras. I spoke too soon. So it's got a Nicaraguan Jalapa wrapper, Hamastron Honduran binder, and it's got fillers from Nicaragua and Honduras. Three different sizes, a Robusto, a Toro, and a Gigante. The Gigante, 6 1/4 inches in length with a 60 ring gauge. That is 60/64ths of an inch in diameter. So that's a big ring gauge size cigar. But I pulled out the Toro, 5 1/2 inches in length, 54 ring gauge, or 54/64ths of an inch in diameter. Smoked several of these cigars at the General Cigar Booth in, I should say, not really a booth, it's huge. It was probably about 2,500 square feet, 3,000 square feet, very big area on the convention center floor of the Las Vegas Convention Center. And every brand had their own little area. So they had umpteen cigars to sample, and I pulled it, and I started talking to Steve Abbott, the brand manager for La Gloria Cubana. And he started telling me about the cigar. And he goes, General, here, just light one. So I started, took the Robusto, cut the end, started to light, was blown away. The flavor was incredibly smooth. Just the construction, but what really blew me away was the price point on these cigars. The Robusto was $4.99, the Toro $5.99, and the Gigante $6.99. I couldn't believe it. They're made down in General Cigars Factory in República Dominicana, or the Dominican Republic, but I could not believe it. And actually, I spoke too soon on that. I forgot that Steve had told me that every cigar that La Gloria Cubana rolls is made in the Dominican, with the exception of this new Esteli, which is rolled at their Esteli factory. So that's why they call it Esteli. But again, just blew me away. The cigars began shipping a couple of weeks ago. Price point, unbelievable value. So I will smoke the La Gloria Cubana Esteli as we kick off National Bourbon Heritage Month tasting maneuvers.
Cigar-altering and highly sharpened leaf-exposing device.
In my hot right hand, I've got my self-sharpening double-edged stainless steel guillotine ready to go.
Maximum BTU flame-throwing and heat-producing apparatus.
Well, I've just unleashed the fire in this Alec Bradley tabletop burner lighter. It looks like a Bunsen burner. Very unique lighter. Huge, huge tank. And you can hear me very the fuel, but it just looks like a Bunsen burner. You get a nice even flame, and it's just a great way. If you've got a desk, if you've got a cigar lounge at your house, or even outside, just a great way to light your cigar, and that's what I will use today on my La Gloria Cubana Esteli.
Cigar pre-litation checklist complete. No faults detected. Area clear of all enemies of pleasure. Approval to go throttle up in 3, 2, 1.
Perfect cut off my La Gloria Cubana Esteli, and I will gently toast the foot of this cigar, taking my time. And I will tell you that in the next hour, we will be joined by noted football analyst and scout Chris Landry of Landry Football. Sergeant Steve, it's LandryFootball.com, correct?
That is correct.
I always want to say Landry Sports. I don't know why. But LandryFootball.com, one of the preeminent analysts and draft gurus in the country as we talk about the opening of the National Football League two nights ago, Thursday night. Kind of, you know, I fell asleep after the first half. It was a really boring game, the first half. Ended up falling asleep, and the Eagles won 18-12 over the Falcons. But I got to tell you, the college games the first weekend were far more exciting than the first NFL game last night. Let me puff and rotate on my La Gloria Cubana Esteli here. Great draw. Oh, yeah. Wow. Again, $5.99 for this cigar. It's incredible. Great taste. I tell you what. Getting a little sweetness. A little bit of nutty taste on the palate here. On a medium-bodied side. Very, very nice. Love this taste profile. Not overly powerful, but incredibly smooth. Just, I tell you what, whether this cigar was $5.99 or $25.99, it's a fabulous cigar. You can't go wrong. Highly recommend the new La Gloria Cubana Esteli. And I need a special bourbon to pair with it as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month, and especially celebrating our guest in the first portion of this edition of the Cigar Dave Show, Fred Noe III, master distiller at Jim Beam. So without any further delay.
Scotch, bourbon, and beer. Commence thirst-quenching libationary maneuvers.
We spoke with Fred about Knob Creek, a Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey. That was the first of the four Jim Beam small batch bourbon brands that were released 25 years ago. They wanted to go for a higher-end spirit market. In addition to Knob Creek, they launched Booker's, Basil Hayden's, which I absolutely love, and Baker's. But the Knob Creek was the very first. It is bottled at 100 proof, so it is higher proof than the regular Jim Beam. 100 proof meaning 50% alcohol by volume. Used to be aged for 9 years. They no longer carry an age statement. We're seeing that more and more with bourbons. There was a shortage of bourbons, so consequently they're taking the age statement off the bottle, but still maintaining the consistency. Very unique rectangular bottle. It's got a corked on wax seal top. I have just pulled that off, and I will pour some of this Knob Creek. I'm going to pour it in my little whiskey snifter here. And it comes not only in the original now 100, the Knob Creek 100 proof, but it also comes in a rye, which is very, very nice. They're straight rye. It's got a smoked maple, the single barrel. But let me say cheers here. Take a sip of my Knob Creek. Wow. Definite pre-prohibition style bourbon. A lot of flavor. A lot of... You taste the char from the wood, the barrel. A lot of flavor on this. And it goes very nicely with my La Gloria Cubana Esteli. Outstanding. Great hour with Frederick Booker Noe III, master distiller of Jim Beam Distillery and Jim Beam Bourbons. Next hour, we'll be joined by Chris Landry. And I will break out Master Thespian, Sedavius Generalis, Cory Booker, senator from New Jersey. Gave me the opportunity. Hour two.
We learned it the hard way. Wildland fire is a fact of life for us. The only real protection for your home and property is defensible space. Remove ladder fuels, brush, and trees that can take the fire right into your house. But cleaning up your landscape is a big job, and Cal North Forestry is up to the task. They are the professionals. Cal North Forestry. Give your home the best chance at survival. For a free estimate, call 209-9473. 209-9473.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen.
Here's Brad Dickus.
In its zeal to declare as fraudulent all adult counseling for same-sex attraction, the California legislature may be on a collision course with the U.S. Supreme Court. You see, the Supreme Court recently declared unconstitutional California's law mandating pro-life pregnancy centers to promote abortion. In that decision, the court also rebuked the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals reasoning in their ruling which upheld California's ban on same-sex attraction counseling for minors. Well, Pacific Justice Institute agrees that this new bill for all adults, Assembly Bill 2943, will likewise ignore free speech and religious freedom as well.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
The damage may occur or anything like that.
Forecasters say the model looks like Florence will start to rapidly intensify Sunday and be a major hurricane by Tuesday. President Trump's lawyer says the president does not believe Stormy Daniels' hush money agreement is valid and will not carry out a threat to sue her for discussing her alleged affair with him. Charles Harder says in court papers Saturday the president never believed he was a party in the agreement, which he did not sign. Daniels claims she had an affair with Mr. Trump back in 2006, which the president denies. She is suing to invalidate the nondisclosure agreement. President Trump and former President Obama will be facing off between now and the November midterm elections.
Barack Obama is not on the ballot, but he's campaigning this fall against President Trump and his allies. After staying mostly silent since leaving office, Obama kicked off his fall tour in Illinois and bluntly criticized the sitting president for seizing on Americans' fear and resentment. In remarks on Friday, Mr. Trump responded by claiming he fell asleep watching Obama's speech. The president also said that his predecessor was trying to take credit for the strong economy. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Meanwhile, Vice President Mike Pence, also taking umbrage, says it's disappointing Mr. Obama's back on the campaign trail criticizing the president. Pence says, quote, "The truth is the American people in 2016 rejected the policy and direction of Barack Obama when they elected President Trump." News and analysis at townhall.com.
Today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone at any time. Larry Elder here. When it's your time, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For my personal protection, I am attending a training at Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility located near Las Vegas. And through our personal relationship with Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, we've arranged for you and your family to train there too, free of charge. Yes, it's true. On your computer browser, enter frontsight.com/Larry to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course absolutely free of charge with no hidden surprises or catches. Enter frontsight.com/Larry. After your first course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population. Guaranteed. Nobody does it better than Front Sight, but you must act before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day $2,000 course at frontsight.com/Larry, frontsight.com/Larry.
Sweden's prime minister denounced an increasingly popular far-right party as racist and a threat to the nation's European values today as political candidates made their final pre-election pitches to voters. Political analyst Goran Vencido warns that while Sweden Democrats are unlikely to win, they might be needed by any party short of a majority wanting to form a government.
Sweden Democrats then have said that they are not going to give this support as a carte blanche for a government. So that means that any government that is formed on this basis will have to take into account the positions and the priorities of the Sweden Democrats.
The parliamentary election being held Sunday will be Sweden's first since the government back in 2015 allowed 163,000 migrants into the country of 10 million. While far less than what Germany took in that year, it was the most per capita of any European nation. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Dozens of Colorado state and local election officials recently participated in cybersecurity and other exercises to reinforce the state's voting status as among the most secure in the nation ahead of the November midterms.
Homeland Security Secretary Christian Nielsen praised Colorado as a national leader in safeguarding elections during an address last week in Denver. Nielsen briefly reiterated her concerns about potential Russian state-led hacking of U.S. elections, particularly of voter databases. Colorado's Republican Secretary of State Wayne Williams told county officials the exercise aims to increase public confidence that their votes are safe in the state.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. U.S. Food and Drug Administration says new guidance about added sugars that will provide an alternative labeling option for pure maple syrup and honey will be released next year. Meanwhile, opponents say the products they're protesting say they would be misleading and unfair. More at townhall.com.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you could use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trend. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
Join us for the third annual Nick Dahl Memorial Golf Tournament on September 22nd. Proceeds from this event sponsor housing for local homeless veterans at the Reading Veterans Resource Center. Since 2016, this event has sponsored housing for 41 veterans. Having a safe place has enabled many of these vets to begin rebuilding their lives by receiving much-needed VA medical care. Many have obtained employment, enrolled in college, or even transitioned into their own housing. Together, we are making a difference for our local veterans. For more information, call 227-7808.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
To the world of cigars, spirits, and diversions. The Cigar and Pleasure Friendly Hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
We continue celebrating Alpha Male Good Life Pleasure Maneuvers. First hour, we celebrated Kentucky Bourbon Heritage Month with Frederick Booker Noe III, master distiller and incredible expert in the world of bourbon whiskey. Great knowledge that he imparted to us, and I'm staring at these five bottles from Jim Beam and the Basil Hayden's, the Jim Beam Signature Craft, the Knob Creek that I enjoyed for the litation and libation ceremony, and I'm still salivating, and there's no doubt I'll have to take another few swigs here in this hour. But we will be talking football later in this hour with Chris Landry, noted football expert of LandryFootball.com. Spent time with Bill Belichick and the Cleveland Browns and Nick Saban at LSU. We'll talk NFL. First game occurred two nights ago. Not overly exciting, but football is back. Life is good. Welcome back. Hour number two. As always, I extend to you my long-ass greetings and salutations, a long-ass snappy salute. Semper Delectatio. Always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. As always, don't forget to follow me on social media. Just go to CigarDave.com, upper right-hand corner. You will see the icons for all the social media platforms. We have not been banned, unlike other broadcasters that got permanently lifetime banned a couple of days ago. But Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, just go ahead and click it and you can follow it. Now, very quickly here before I get into some very pressing show material, and we may have to bring out Master Thespian Sir Davis Generalis. Actually, not may, we will. But those of you that are members of the Cigar Dave Officers Club, the August 2018 selection, the Fonseca Classic, just a wonderful, very smooth cigar launched in 1974 by master cigar blender, legend in the cigar industry, Manuel Quesada, that has just stood the test of time over the last 44 years. The Fonseca Classic was mailed and shipped earlier this week. What has happened between the civil unrest in Nicaragua the last three, 4 months, shipments getting out of the Nicaraguan factories late, and then just getting, when they do get out, they just overwhelm customs down in Miami, and that consequently causes a backup, even with cigars coming from Honduras and the Dominican Republic, and that's exactly what happened with this Fonseca Classic. But those of you that are members of the Officers Club, you will be receiving the Fonseca Classic. Should start to get them today into next week, depending on where you live geographically. And our September selection, we will make an announcement next week. We think we know what it's going to be, but it just depends on what is going on in Nicaragua. So some crazy times in Nicaragua that is having a rippling effect, but trust me, when you get these Fonseca Classics, you will love these cigars. A nice mild to medium-bodied cigar, loads of creaminess, very, very smooth, Connecticut shade, USA wrapper, Dominican binder and filler. You'll love these Fonseca cigars. And I'll tell you what, the Fonseca Classics would go great with the Basil Hayden's Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, this small-batch bourbon whiskey that I sampled in the first hour that we talked to Booker Noh about. Just incredibly smooth. Perfect combination, the Fonseca Classic and the Basil Hayden's. All right, earlier this week, a couple of days ago, you saw on Wednesday, New Jersey Senator Cory Booker. Now, we have featured him in the past on the show. He tends to get a little bit on the melodramatic side. And he was speaking with the future Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh. And, of course, he is running for president. There's no question about it. We saw a number of Democratic candidates. They haven't announced yet, but they will. Just a matter of time. We have seen them do some grandstanding. You can already see their campaign TV ads already being constructed with some of the sound bites. Well, Cory Booker threatened in a very melodramatic form to defy Senate rules, release confidential documents about Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. And he went on to talk about this Spartacus moment. So let us play soundbite number one, Sergeant Steve, New Jersey Senator Cory Booker.
We have a process here for a person, the highest office in the land, for a lifetime appointment. We're rushing through this before me and my colleagues can even read and digest the information.
Oh, the drama. Allow me to break out Master Thespian Sedavius Generalis. We here have an unprecedented time. This is the highest judgeship in the land. We simply cannot be cavalier about this. We must release documents. We must get all the available information, for our nation depends on it. Let's play that one more time, Sergeant Steve.
We have a process here for a person, the highest office in the land, for a lifetime appointment. We're rushing through this before me and my colleagues can even read and digest the information.
Oh, I must digest that information. I must digest it like a large steak meal from one of the fine steakhouses such as Morton's or Fleming's or Del Frisco's or The Palm, like I have gorged myself on a 4-pound ribeye steak. I need time to digest, and if that does not work, I must take some Tums or Rolaids to allow the digestive juices to digest in my belly. Oh, please, the drama that this guy exudes. It's over the top. And again, you can already see that his 2020 Democratic primary campaign television commercial is going to use this melodramatic speech that he made. And he goes on to talk about his Spartacus moment.
This is about the closest I'll probably ever have in my life to an I am Spartacus moment.
This is the closest I shall have to a Spartacus moment. Allow me to take that Spartacus book or the movie, the video, and hold it and place it near to my bosom to allow me to fully ingrate myself into this incredible melodramatic play that I am creating here in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Now, when he talks about, well, first of all, let's go ahead and play the soundbite from the movie Spartacus.
I'm Spartacus!
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 Now, if you have never seen the movie Spartacus starring Kirk Douglas, I'm trying to remember if this movie came out in the 50s or the 60s. It follows a Thracian man named Spartacus, who is a slave of the Roman Empire in the first century B.C., but always defies them. He leads other slaves in revolt. That initially was successful, but Spartacus's fighters are then surrounded by the Romans. Most of them are slaughtered outside of Rome. And the Romans start to question the survivors. They want to know who their leader is so they can make an example of him. And that's when all the survivors stand up and declare, Sergeant Steve, hit that soundbite one more time.
I'm Spartacus!
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 And what ends up happening? The Romans decide to whack everybody. So that was the Spartacus moment. Again, total melodrama, just overly melodramatic, but that's Cory Booker. It just has to go on and on and on. Now, what I want to do is next week, Burt Reynolds passed away at the age of 82, and he was just a huge box office attraction. If you grew up in the 70s, even 80s, listen, every person I know, every male wanted to be Burt Reynolds. Why? He was banging Lonnie Anderson. He was married to Lonnie Anderson. So next week I'm going to spend a little bit more time talking about Burt Reynolds, his incredible career. And I got a great story from Gene Deckerhoff, the play-by-play voice of the Florida State Seminoles where Burt Reynolds attended, talking about he and Lonnie Anderson. Great story that I will share with you. But we'll be talking football. The National Football League has started. We'll be joined by Chris Landry talking NFL preview right around the corner.
The General is always on Twitter, delivering breaking news, giving you the latest intel on cigars, and battling the enemies of pleasure. Chat with the General now at Cigar Dave Show.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle. Always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth weight.
America is under attack. Basic freedoms, privileges, and acts that we would normally take for granted are disappearing each day, including the simple ability to enjoy a cigar. This is Glenn Loop, Executive Director of Cigar Rights of America, CRA. At a time when elected officials should be thinking about education, public safety, and creating jobs, they are actually thinking about smoking bans, new taxes, and regulations of historic proportions on premium cigars. The cigars that provide us with pleasure, relaxation, and fellowship are under attack. We have to stop it. That's why Cigar Rights of America was created, to work for a new political day for cigar enthusiasts across America, to roll back restrictive laws and defeat onerous taxes and regulations that impact everyone from your local cigar shop to your personal humidor. For the price of a few great cigars, be a part of this effort to protect your right to enjoy a cigar without excessive taxation and cumbersome legislation. Go to CigarRights.org. Let's tell the government we've had enough. Join now, CigarRights.org.
You are listening live to the Fox NFL theme. That can mean only one thing. It is time for Cigar Dave National Football League preview. Football is back. College is back. NFL started 2 nights ago, although it was kind of a bad impression of an NFL regular season game as Atlanta lost to the Eagles 18-12. Truth be told, it put me to sleep after the first half. It was a yawner. I think they thought they were back in preseason. But joining us, a very special guest, noted football analyst and expert and incredible draft analyst. We've got Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. Chris, I've been a big fan. I know that you appear with my good friend Steve Dumig. Every time you're on, I make sure I listen because nobody breaks down games and players better than you. So it's a real pleasure and honor to have you on with us.
Well, I appreciate that. It's an honor to be on with you, and always great talking football. And it's exciting, the start of the season. I know you mentioned that the game wasn't real exciting last night. And we may have some of that sluggish performances this week, but football's back, so I think we can all rejoice on that.
You know, before we get into your background, it always amazes me that college never needs any preseason games. They basically start the season, and we got great games last weekend, and yet the National Football League, they have 4 preseason games, and we got kind of a dud yesterday. It's really time for the NFL to just dump the preseason and go with 18 regular season games.
Well, you know, there's a lot of debate with that. Jerry Jones has come out and said the same thing. Of course, the motive behind that for owners is that they want to make 2 of the games add 2 more to the regular season because they don't want to give folks a break on the tickets. It is really a shame that they charge full price for your season ticket package for the preseason games, which is really unfair. You know, as a football guy, the preseason games are important to develop a roster, but the quality of the games are not very, very good. And with the CBA that was signed several years ago, you have less contact in pads, and that leads to, quite frankly, being less prepared for the start of the season. And I always tell everyone it takes a good 4 to 5 weeks to really get a feel for some of these teams because the quality is not that good. Now, in college, they don't have a preseason game, although – because we have a few good games, but most people play that, I call it the rent or win type of game, where sometimes they play sluggish, but they still can win by 30 points. So, yeah, you know, as long as things are equal, I guess it's fair and competitive. But as a football guy, I'd like to see them do a little bit more to improve the preparation level so that the quality is a little bit better starting up. The tackling in particular is atrocious, although – in the Monday night game, the Thursday night opener, we had some good tackling and not much offense.
You know, you talk about rent a win. Penn State almost rented a loss from Appalachian State.
Yeah, they did. Appalachian State. You know, people are not going to want to sign up to play those guys, and it was 11 year to the anniversary that they beat Michigan, and I'm sitting there watching them playing Penn State. And this is a brand-new, young, first-time starting quarterback at Appalachian State. Tim Satterfield does a really good job. They've got a lot of good athletes, and they play with a chip on their shoulder, and the program has gotten better and better. No, it is never smart to play a team like that because if you win, you don't get any credit for it, and if you lose, you get vilified for it, and if you win in a close game, they say, what the heck happened?
Chris Landry, our guest for our NFL preview here on the Cigar Dave Show. Chris, let's talk about your background. Fascinating. You really spent a lifetime in football. Been a coach, been a scout, administrator, both the college football, NFL levels. You're back in Baton Rouge where you analyze all sorts of games. But tell us your background because it really is fascinating.
Well, you know, I've been blessed to be around the game of football my entire life. I've never really felt like I've had a real job in that sense. You know, I started off as I was a walk-on football player at LSU, and I can still remember to this day, and very limited, had a couple of small college scholarship offers, and a walk-on at LSU, grew up in South Louisiana, going to LSU games. Bill Orangeburger, coach at LSU at the time, and I'm there, and I spent an entire fall and an entire spring, and Coach Orangeburger, who people may remember was really a defensive savant, was the coordinator for Don Shula and the Dolphins and the inventor of the 3-4 defense, called me in and basically said, you know, you're really not much of a player. You know, he says, you ever thought about coaching? And, of course, I hadn't. And he said, you know, you'd be you know, a lot better help to us if maybe you became a student assistant coach. And, of course, at the time I was devastated because I was dumb because there I was as a walk-on player getting my head beaten in by guys that were a lot better. And then I went to being a student assistant coach where you had the scholarship paid for and, you know, books and meals paid for. And that really started it for me. I learned a lot of football from him and then moved on, became a full-time assistant, and then got an opportunity to get in the NFL to work for Bill Belichick. And there was an assistant among the assistants on that staff at that time was a guy named Nick Saban. So I spent time, and I still think about it to this day, sitting there at a table looking to my right in Bill Belichick and across the table and seeing Nick to my right to see Nick Saban. And nothing to do with me, but I will probably remember that for being maybe being on the staff and being able to see perhaps the two greatest coaches in the history of pro football and the NFL respectively. And that really did it for me. And then I moved on from Cleveland to go to run the scouting combine for a while and then on to Houston to run the Oilers scouting department. And then when we moved to Tennessee, moved with the team there. And then I moved back in the early 2000s when my dad got sick. And it just been back home to Louisiana and did consulting work for teams and have continued to do that and started a website with a good friend of yours that you well know, Steve Versnick, and I. He helped me get this started, and I tried to put together some things that I thought might be unique to fans to give them a perspective from a coach and a scout and administrator about the pro and college game, which I so love.
So you still consult with NFL teams?
I do. I do some work for some teams and some college programs. It involves, you know, draft consulting work, but it's also what we call advanced scouting, some evaluating of personnel as well as schematics. Do a lot of it during the off season, during the summertime, where you really help programs kind of break down what other people are doing, how they're doing it. And the real advantages with technology, the way it is, you know, you don't have to get out there in person as much. And then a coaching search work is a big part of what I do. That heats up a lot, obviously, as the latter part of the college season takes place. You see a lot of coaching changes and evaluating coaches because one of the things I did for my alma mater, LSU, is I did, having worked so closely with them, recommended that they hire Nick Saban at LSU. And they listened to me and thought so much of me that they went out and hired Jerry DiNardo. And that had some success, but it ended up pretty poorly. And it wasn't until Mark Emmert, who's now the head of the NCAA, who's then the chancellor of LSU, decided, at that point they had some interest and some had remembered that and did a little bit more homework. Nick had at that point gone to Michigan State and had success there. And then, but then at that point, Nick Saban wasn't interested in going. So I had to spend time convincing him that LSU was a much better job than the results had shown and explaining to him why I thought, you know, so many coaches had failed there and whatnot. And then, ended up where it, he got the job. And I can remember to this day, he was, named the head coach at LSU, the highest paid coach in the country at $1.2 million a year in 2000. And today, that's chicken feed. He almost makes that on a weekly basis. But so that and Bob Stoops, a few guys, Kurt Ferentz, who's had a lot of success at Iowa. So it's helped me get into some of the coaching search realm with background of knowing these guys. And I think it's important, like in any industry, to know who really does what. And so that's something that I do, and it's something that we try to bring to light on the website for people's enjoyment.
All right, Chris, when we come back, we'll get into looking at this year's NFL season.
The General is now on Instagram. Follow him for pictures of the latest cigars, libations, and what he's enjoying during the show.
That could be interesting, and we'll have to block out some faces.
Go to Instagram and search Cigar Day. Cigar Day.
Gurkha has just launched three new cigars at the Cigar Dave Alpha Pleasure Fest on the Water in Buffalo. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, the Gurkha Marquesa, and Gurkha Ghost Gold. All three unique flavor profiles. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, more traditional, mild, and creamy cigar, typically found in many of the high-end Dominican cigars. Exquisite flavor, very velvety on the palate, featuring an Ecuadorian De Florada wrapper. The Gurkha Marquesa, very Cubanesque all the way around from flavor and packaging. With an earthy Sumatra wrapper, Gurkha Marquesa is a bold, well-balanced, medium-bodied, and spicy cigar. The Gurkha Ghost Gold, a little different than the regular Gurkha Ghost, more flavor, a little bit bolder, featuring an Ecuadorian Habano wrapper. Instead of a sweet flavor on the Gurkha Ghost, it's a more nutty and earthy profile. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, the Gurkha Marquesa, and Gurkha Ghost Gold, three new cigars just launched by...
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address, 1378 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California, 960.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Redding's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour. Here on locally owned KCNR.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Redding. Join the revolution.
Autumn in America. That means football. It means grilled meats. It means cigars. It means spirits. It means my favorite time of the year. And to preview this NFL season, we are rejoined by Chris Landry, draft and scout expert extraordinaire, and the man behind LandryFootball.com, joining us from his headquarters in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Chris, I've got a picture of you that I found. You're in front of about 10 monitors with about 14 different DVR remote controls in your hand. So how many games do you watch at any one given time, or do you just watch them on tape delay and then analyze them afterward?
Well, what I do is I used to have 10, and then I figured out that the four at the top, I could not follow it. So I settled in on 6, which I have now. So whether it's Saturday or Sunday, I've got 6 games going on at once, and I can tape, or DVR is the term, that particular game on that TV as well as 2 others. So at any point in time, there are 18 games being taped so that I can go back and look at it. The scouting work is done off the coaching tape that I get from teams, and but I always like to go back and get some things from the televised version because you can find out some things, injuries and whatnot, some of the flow that I like to chart and make notes while watching games to, you know, help me before I go in and delve into the tape. So it is pretty hectic, but a lot of fun to monitor as many as 6 games at one time.
The most important position by far in football is the quarterback. Why is it that it's so difficult for college quarterbacks who have tremendous success at the college level to replicate that success on the NFL pro level?
Well, it's such a different game, Dave. It's the college game, the players are really good, but at the pro level, they're the best of the best. They're the biggest, they're the strongest, they're the fastest, they're the most skilled in terms of understanding and positioning. So the degree of difficulty is that much greater in terms of being able to complete passes and being able to find open receivers. For example, in college, guys, what's open in college is a lot of spacing to be able to throw the football. In the pro game, when guys get open, it is such a narrow window that in most cases in college, they wouldn't allow their kids to throw the football in that spot because it's too close. But you have to do it in the NFL because that's as wide open as you're going to get in the NFL. I would explain it this way. It's kind of like making a layup versus trying to hit a three-point. I mean, you can do it, but it's a degree of difficulty is greater. Or, you know, maybe, you know, a hole in the 3-foot putt or a 30-foot putt. It's that difficult, that much more difficult. And the game is quite a bit different. You have some rules, blocking rules that are different. And you have more of the run element in the college game, whereas in the pro game, you've got to do a little bit more work from within the pocket, and you've got to go through read progression. So there's a much greater understanding of coverages, route concepts, and all things that are really pertinent to have success at the next level. It's just that's much more difficult. And I think the college game today, while you're having a lot of good quarterbacks, the scheme and the spread styles don't translate quite as well to the NFL, which is why some NFL coaches are doing a good job of adjusting some of the NFL styles to fit more of the college scheme. But, you know, you can simplify it for them, but as you simplify it, you become easier to defend. So you simplify it, make it easy to get the quarterback on the field, then you have to expand upon the system and have the quarterback grow within the system. So all of that is a long-winded way of saying it's just a lot tougher to make that transition because the game is quite a bit different.
All right, so this year we saw a plethora of quarterbacks taken in the first round. Let's start off Baker Mayfield with Cleveland Browns. I'm a Bills fan. Tyrod Taylor is a 7-9 quarterback. He will all the national reporters said, oh, but he doesn't turn the ball over. The problem is that he couldn't hit open receivers. Unless they were open by like 5 seconds, he would not throw down the field. He would miss wide open guys. So I don't think there's any doubt Baker Mayfield's going to get a start here in the probably first 4 or 5 games. But how did you have the quarterbacks rank? Because Baker Mayfield was taken, and Sam Darnold, Josh Allen went to the Bills, Josh Rosen. How did you have them all ranked?
Sam Darnold was the guy that I liked the best because I thought he had the temperament. I thought he had the intangibles, and I thought he had the physical skill set to throw the football outside the pocket. He had good pocket presence. I turned the football over a bunch, but when you drill down into why, a lot of it was he was asked to do things at USC to kind of put his team on the back. On his back and try to bring him back from behind. But when you do that, you're going to turn the football over some. I thought he did a tremendous job of putting bad plays behind, which is really important that you don't get down And he's got the physical and the intangible qualities that I think are going to be very successful. And I think the Jets, for the first time in a long time, you can appreciate this, being a Bills fan, watching the Jets. The last time they've had a quarterback that they've been this excited about is probably Joe Namath. Because, I mean, you can look at the Vinny Testaverdes and guys that they've had that have been, you know, I know some folks like Mark Sanchez, but there hasn't been anybody of this ilk in some time in New York for the Jets. So I like him a bunch, and I think Baker Mayfield can be good, but I think he needs a little bit more time and a little bit more seasoning. Josh Allen with the Bills, as you're well aware, Josh Rosen. Some other guys that I think out of this crop can be really good, along with some other guys in the league like Jimmy Garoppolo's, that we've got a good influx of young quarterbacks.
Let me say this. Jimmy Garoppolo got to sit and learn behind Tom Brady, mm-hmm. and learn. And, you know, people think of when they take a look, they really – everybody looks at starting a quarterback immediately these days. And yet, when you look, I think, the most successful guys that have come up through the ranks, they've sat maybe a year or two and really learned and taken a mentorship. And Aaron Rodgers is a perfect example. And they seem to have greater success when they're able to not play immediately and learn the system, kind of learn the speed of the game. They seem to do much better in that scenario.
I agree. It's my philosophy. You know, I drafted Steve McNair, and we sat him. We thought it was the best thing for him. I think it is the best thing for most quarterbacks. The problem is, in today's world, today's society, everyone's making a snap judgment. They want a guy to start quick. The owner wants it. They're hearing it from the media and the fans, and they're not winning, or why not put the guy in? Well, that's fine. And people have this saying that you can't learn if you're not playing. Well, that's not true. I always say that when a quarterback is ready, and it's different for every player, but when a quarterback is ready, then that's when you want to put him in. Not when, hey, he's the best option, let's throw him in there. Because to me, all you're doing is ingraining bad habits if he's not ready. I use the golf analogy a lot. If you go to the driving range and you hit a big bucket of balls, you're not getting better. Practice makes permanent. It doesn't make perfect. You need to correct your problem and then hit that bucket of balls doing it the right way. So I think in the quarterback position in particular, a lot of these guys, I think their mechanics get flawed. And quite frankly, a lot of guys get ruined by getting into the game a little too quickly, and they never maybe are groomed correctly, or the coaching's not quite as good. There's not stability in a system. There's a lot of reasons why we ruin quarterbacks, and often we claim guys as busts when the reality is their careers have been busts, but there have been some guys that have helped bust them, if you will, in terms of poor development.
You know, I'll never forget, I played in a celebrity pro-am golf tournament, got to be about 15 years ago, and was playing with a couple of quarterbacks at the time, and I was remarking about how, you know, it's really tough getting some good quarterbacks these days, and they said, no, I'll tell you what the problem is, it's getting good coaches that know how to teach these quarterbacks, and all three of them said it virtually at the same time. Is that a problem where we've got marginal coaches that are, tutoring some of these quarterbacks?
I think it's the most undercoached position in football, and very often is the case. In college, it is 9 times out of 10, the offensive coordinator is the quarterback coach, because they're calling the plays or had the relationship with the quarterback. The coordinators tend to be more an overseer of the offense, meaning they're looking at everything. They're looking at the play concepts, what to call in certain situations, and they're not spending as much time on the fundamentals of working with the quarterback, the drop step, the positioning. Now, in the NFL, I've always said, without a limit on coaches, which you do have in college, on the field coaches, in the NFL, everybody should have a quarterback coach that is separate from the coordinator, everyone. And I do think there is a lack of experience of what I would call quality teachers of the quarterback position. And I think some guys that have played it have been successful. Look at some of the best teachers. It's maybe a guy like a Frank Wright, who you're familiar with, that was a backup and a very good one in the league. You know, the best quarterbacks in the league don't want to teach it because, well, they make a lot of money. They don't want to get into coaching. So you're right. Not going to get, I remember speaking with Joe Montana one time. We got a mutual friend, and his young kids were coming up, and he was looking for a good quarterback coach. I'm like, Joe, what are you? He says, oh, my kids don't listen to me. You know, they're like any other kids. It's like but finding a good quarterback teacher was difficult, and not all these guys. A lot of the good players do it the way they did it, but they're not good teachers and can't really relate to guys because they can't do it as those, the guys they're teaching are not as good as they are, and they can't do what they do. And well, that's how I did it. Good teachers, as you well know, and all our listeners know, that it's about being able to touch a student in a different way. And I don't think we have enough good quarterback teachers. And I think a lot of it is taught on scheme and decision making and reads, and not enough on the mechanics of playing and throwing the position and the ball handling and whatnot.
And that's why a lot of these quarterbacks that come into the league and hide draft picks actually hire their own quarterback coaches, these experts. I think Carson Palmer's brother is one of them out in California and has worked with him. Our guest is Chris Landry.
By the way, if I could jump in there and say, here's the biggest problem we got, is even though we don't have that there is a in the collective bargaining agreement, players cannot spend time with their coaches in the offseason. That's the biggest reason why they're hiring these coaches, individual coaches. How crazy is that, that a player that comes into the league, he can't spend time in the offseason talking football with his position coach?
That is absurd. It's really a full-time job, and you don't have to have contact, but these players are paid full-time money. It's not like the old days where they need a summer job or an off-season job, but I totally agree. Our guest is Chris Landry.
They got to pay their money. I'm sorry. They got to pay their own money to hire these.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything, and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Are we enjoying the unity and peace our immoral, godless leaders promised if we would just give up the idea of God? No, we are experiencing violence, hatred, immorality, chaos, and much more, all of which the Bible calls lawlessness. Sadly, those practicing lawlessness are living under a strong delusion of lies as they reject God's truth and have pleasure in unrighteousness. This strong delusion will keep them from knowing the truth that can make them free. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
Rocky Patel. If you're a beginner, or if you just enjoy a great mild cigar like I do in the morning, I suggest you try the Vintage 99. This 7-year-old Connecticut wrapper delivers a creamy, mild, smooth flavor. It's very, very balanced on your palate, and it absolutely is delightful. Tons of flavor, a perfect draw, and an incredible ash. This cigar is smooth. It will entice you to enjoying more and more of the Vintage 99s. It's just a nice, great, balanced, smooth cigar. Look for it, the oldest Connecticut shape in the market today. I'm Rocky Patel, and I promise you, nobody works harder than we do to make you a great quality cigar. Come visit us at rockypatel.com.
Surgeon General warning, cigar smoking can cause cancer and heart disease.
hold it right there. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes. The General resumes hosting maneuvers in 1 minute. Quiet, please. Cigar Dave returns in 5, 4, 3, 2.
All right, in our remaining minutes, now we're going to hit each division in the National Football League and do our prognostications. Little preview, Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com, noted scout, noted draft expert. Chris, first up, AFC, AFC East. Let's just stop right here. My Buffalo Bills going to take it all.
There you go. Well, no need to add any more to that. And that would be eye-popping the story that is New England. Man, what a dominant performance they've had.
No doubt.
Still be awfully tough to beat. But it is going to be interesting to see who can make that race to be number two. Buffalo, the Jets, I like a little bit more than the Dolphins at this point.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Bills, I think, are in a transition year offensive line, a little tough. But I think what's going to be interesting, you know, the Jets and Bills seem to be doing it the right way. No shortcuts, drafting, no big-time free agents. You got to build it through the draft. And there eventually will be a changing of the guard in the AFC East. The question is when. But this year, New England odds-on favorite. Now, AFC North, great game to start, actually. You've got Pittsburgh and Cleveland. That's a bitter rivalry. But in that division, I mean, Pittsburgh still seems to be the odds-on favorite.
I think so. I think Cleveland will be better. Maybe they could make a run towards 500, maybe get to 6-7 at least. Maybe they get it done this weekend as Pittsburgh's kind of coming in with outlay beyond bail. I still like the Steelers. We've got the best defense. Baltimore is still pretty good defensively, but they've got to get more consistency out of the quarterback position. Cincinnati is maybe a team that could be overtaken by Cleveland, but I suspect that they're going to fight for the third and fourth spots, those two, and probably 5-6 wins is about the best they can do, I would think.
All right, real quickly, AFC South, I think that could be one of the best divisions in football. Houston, great quarterback. Indianapolis, Andrew Luck is back. Jacksonville made a deep run last year. Could be a pretty good competitive balance in the AFC South.
Boy, I agree. I think it's a great division. I think only Indianapolis lacks the roster to compete, and obviously Andrew Luck is back. But Tennessee's a good team. I like Houston and Jacksonville. Jacksonville is the best roster overall in the AFC. Can they get enough out of the quarterback position? Can Houston get some breaks from an injury standpoint? Good defense, dynamic young quarterback. I might go with Houston here, but it's, to me, Houston and Jacksonville in the end fighting for it out.
All right, AFC West, Broncos sign Case Keenum, Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes. Chargers always look good. The Raiders, I can tell you one thing, I don't see them winning that division under Gruden in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I think the Raiders, to me, clearly look like the fourth best team in the division. And I think the other three are pretty close. I give the Chargers a little bit of an edge. They've had a tough run of it injury-wise. They've got a really good-looking roster. I think the Chiefs are good. And I think the Broncos are a good defensive team that will be improved on offense. I think all three of those teams are capable of winning the division. It might be a 10, definitely 11 win, get you in good shape in that division.
All right, we move to the NFC, NFC East. Eagles won their first game. Going to be interesting to see how they do because they lost a lot of key coaches. Dallas, mediocre year last year. Giants kind of rebuilding. Redskins, who knows? They lost their quarterback. Any predictions on that? You think Eagles still odds-on favorite?
I think they are. I think they have the best roster in that division. And certainly when they get Carson Wentz back, they'll be a little bit more consistent on offense. I worry about Dallas. Is their strength is the offensive line. They've not started off the year healthy there. I don't know that they're good enough defensively to be more than what they've been, and that's a 500 team. The Giants, I think, will be improved. Could finish as high as second in the division. Washington, I have some concerns about. Don't like their roster. I think their roster is right with Dallas, probably a little bit below Dallas in the NFCs.
All right, NFC North, you got the Bears, Lions, Packers, Vikings. To me, I think it's a shootout between the Packers and the Vikings.
Yeah, I think the Vikings have the best roster in the NFC, and I think that the quarterback position is stabilized and maybe even a little bit more productive in terms of big plays. I think they probably win it. What gives the Packers a chance is Aaron Rodgers. He's outstanding. And, you know, I think he's good enough to get them in the division race and make the playoffs, just not good enough around him to go and win another Super Bowl. The Lions have started off the year poorly in preseason, but we'll see whether they can run the football well. The team to look out for is the Bears. The addition of Khalil Mack will help them. If Trubisky can be improved with improved weapons at receiver, they could challenge for maybe a second spot and be an above 500 team.
All right, let's take a look at the last two divisions. We've got about a minute and a half. So NFC South, Panthers, Saints, Buccaneers, Falcons.
Love this division. I think they're all really good teams, all improved. The Bucs are better, but still think they're fourth in the division. Carolina, I would probably put near in that third spot. And then I think it's the Saints and Atlanta, if they all stay healthy, or the best. I think the Saints' defense has consistently gotten better. I give the Saints the edge because of Drew Brees, but I think it's a toss-up, probably 10 or 11 wins this division. It wouldn't surprise me if we had maybe two teams from this division getting into the playoffs. I think a wild card's definitely coming out of it.
All right, real quickly, the NFC West, Arizona, the Rams, the 49ers, the Seahawks, that division has gotten much better. I'll tell you what, a lot of people predicting the Rams are going to go all the way this year.
Well, they've got the best roster in the West, so I think that that's a safe look going into the season. I think the Niners are getting better. Don't count out the Seahawks. They, you know, certainly are a veteran team in some areas, still a quality team. I think the Cardinals are a little bit rebuilding. I don't think it's a given that the Rams dominate the division, but I still think they're the best team in the division and will end up on top.
All right, so now we go to predictions. Who's going to be in the big game?
You know, it's so tough, but I would probably say Minnesota. Just if I'm looking at it in terms of a roster, I would say Minnesota might edge out in the NFC. The NFC's tougher, by the way, than the AFC. The AFC, it's just, you know, I want to say somebody other than New England to just be creative, but I'm not convinced at this point that Pittsburgh's good enough to do it. Maybe, you know, the Texans are healthy enough to be in that position. Jacksonville. I just think that in New England, because they usually dominate the division, they are given to win 11 games and likely get home field advantage. Good luck going to Gillette and trying to beat them. So I'm going to say New England and Minnesota just to throw out a guess.
New England and Minnesota. Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. Hey, Chris, greatly appreciate you joining us today for the NFL preview. My Bills take on the Ravens. We'll see what happens, but we'll have you on throughout the season. Cigar Dave, the general saying, may your humidor always be full. Mayor Cutter, always be sharp. Mayor Ashby, extra, extra long. Semper Delectatio, always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. Go Bills. I know this is not going to be the year, but I like the direction. NFL football is back. Life is good.
The annual Reading East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Reading's Caldwell Park. Be a part of the Reading East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details on all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information, go to readingduckyderby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Caldwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toyo stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a running sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading,